Inner Circle Trader. I spent hundreds of hours listening to the guy 6-7 years ago. I look at the candlesticks in a way that resembles the smart money approach. I've been looking at charts the entire day for the past 10 years. One thing that the traders usually mess up is think of what the market is going to do without looking what the market is actually doing right now. What I found out over the years is that if you want to be consistently profitable, you have to.
Folks, we welcome Italian-based trader Fabrizio Alessandro onto the show today. Now, he's trading over there at Darwinex, and he's got a track record reaching back to 2022. And what does that mean? It means 378 traders have currently followed him, and he's got a portfolio that he's trading of over $4 million in capital. So this is why we've got him on the show. You're going to find out his story into trading and how he does what he does on a daily basis and why he's so good at it. They haven't had a losing month since 2022. It's incredible. All right, that's coming up on the show. Now, before we dive in, you're going to hear how I'm getting on with my Blue Guardian challenge. So let's dive into that. All right, folks, let's dive into my Blue Guardian update for the week. So we started it here and lost the first trade, which wasn't great, followed by a few wins. Happy with that. Then the next, I had to wait ages for the setup. It actually played out really well in terms of a setup, but not the trade. So lost that trade. Was really annoyed, took a revenge trade later on in the day. I probably shouldn't have taken that. It wasn't the most high probability trade. The next day, I followed it up with a win. This one here, I exited early just to be on the safe side because I had a couple of losses the day before. Shouldn't have probably done that either. It did go on to be a 2.5 hour winner. It would have taken me up here. Then the day after, I actually took two winning trades back to back, but they didn't copy across because of the whole switch over from MetaTrader to DXTrade here at Blue Guardian. And the day after, I was on holiday as well. So I kind of ended the trading week there. Minus 3.3, almost a full percent down on where I started the prior week, mainly due to commission. Now, if you folks want to take your own Blue Guardian challenge, then check out the link in the description. You can get 10% off with the coupon code TradingNut, all one word. All right, let's dive into the show. All right, folks, here we are in TradingNut. We've got Fabrizio Alessandro here in the house all the way over there in Sicily, Italy. Welcome to the show, Fabrizio.
Hello, good morning, Cam. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Well, look, I've got your full story and I want to share that with the listeners because it is a great one. And I think your approach is so mechanical and methodical, even though you are a discretionary trader. I want to hear it. I mean, you're managing about $3 million in capital over there at Darwinex. So you're obviously doing something right with your track record all out there publicly since 2022. So let's hear how you got into trading and your journey today.
Well, of course. Well, I started my journey, let's say, some 10 years ago. I come from an economic studies background, and I started to work for a bank in Italy as a financial advisor. But I soon realized that I wasn't cut out for the job, as it is mostly a salesman job. You sell financial products to investors. And that was something that I didn't particularly like. And at the same time, I was still in contact with a former friend of mine from university, and he was already working in a trading sector. And he basically introduced me to what people were doing in the online trading business. And I mean, I found it very interesting, and I saw potential for personal development. I mean, learning new skills, learning how to actually trade the markets, and not only talking about markets with clients and leaving the operational side of that to the money managers. Usually propose to investors. And so I started meeting people who were already active in the online trading sector. And soon after that, I think we are in the beginning of the of 2016, I partnered up with a team that was made of a couple of traders and some programmers. And they were already active in the creation of MetaTrader indicators, MT4 and MT5. And I started working with them we built a community, a training academy around those indicators. We've been developing instruments for the past 10 years. We're still developing. And we have basically revolutionized the MT4. Once you install that software, it radically changes. We also we managed to create some innovative analytical models that were actually the reason why I became a trader. I particularly focused, because the indicators are so many, on two analytical models. One based on an innovative Fibonacci study. I have operational grids that allow me to have projections on what the market is going to do on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, half-yearly, and yearly basis. And another system, which is based on the net changes of the various timeframes up to the annual of the symbols that I trade. I'm mostly a Forex trader, so I usually focus on currency pairs. And so I learned through these instruments and through experience to look at the market in terms of net changes. And the brilliant idea our developer had was to translate these market net changes on all the time frames into horizontal levels that we could use as support and resistance. And we observed over the years that all the swing points the market makes are actually made on these levels or around these levels. So there it's, and we have grids that appear as soon as the reference time frame opens. So we already know what prices correspond to the net changes, positive and negative, in advance, as soon as the new day opens, the new week, the new month. And that goes for the Fibonacci levels. So I already know as soon as the market opens on that day, on that week, on that month, what are the relevant areas that I'm going to have to monitor, and based on what price does on or around those areas, I take my decisions. I also learned to observe the market in terms of average ranges, always based on the reference time frame. So daily, weekly, monthly average ranges, and which is quite valuable information, because it allows you to project where the market could go in terms of target and where the excesses, the statistical excesses, if you look at a year history of the instrument, start to build, which allowed me to start trading with a contrarian approach on the excesses.
There's a lot of stuff I want to dive into here. So it sounds like an absolutely fascinating journey. To start off with, it sounds very mathematical in terms of the initial underlying approach that you took with, you know, these indicators and even coming up with the net percentage change, the Fibo levels and the ATR, daily ATRs and et cetera, all that sort of stuff. I mean, where did you get the mathematical bent to it? I mean, because it's kind of like, it didn't sound like you had a mathematical start to your career, but it sounds like there's a lot of math that goes into that, or have I got it wrong?
Well, these instruments were created to tell you what the market is actually doing, because one thing that the traders usually mess up, do wrong, is think of what the market is going to do without looking what the market is actually doing right now. Okay, and also they I was one of them. They look at financial instruments in isolation. I also employ various dashboards that allow me to see what the entire market is doing in percentage terms, in buying or selling pressure terms, in terms which is most important to me in terms of balance of power between the currency baskets, because that's also another problem of forex traders. They observe the single currency pair without awareness of what the euro, for example, as a currency is doing against the other counterparts, and the US dollar is doing against the other counterparts. If the euro dollar is to go up, you need a strong euro and a weak dollar. If both currencies are performing in the same way against the other counterparts, the results you're going to have at the end of the day is probably a daily doji. It's going to be, the market is going to be neutral. So that is something, if you see that the balance of power between the two currencies has that that characteristic, well, you should actually avoid trading the euro dollar, because it's going to take you nowhere. The market is not going to do anything. So if you can scout the market and see what's the balance of power between the assets involved and what the risk profile of the market is, whether or not the typical correlations are in play, are active, well, you have a much easier life in selecting the proper instrument to trade, in which direction. And if the moves have already started, considering I monitor excesses, I can wait for the later part of the American session, usually, to take advantage of potential excesses that have presented themselves, which usually happens right around the half of the American session, because you have the biggest moves during the overlap of the European and the American session. So if an excess is to present itself, you're probably gonna see it towards the close of the European session, or soon after that.
And what do you mean by an excess?
I mean that a move which is greater than the average range from high to low for a particular instrument on a specific time frame, because I monitor the average ranges, here history of the average ranges of the daily, weekly, and monthly time frame. And so starting from that, I can assess whether or not an excess, a statistical excess, we could define it, is actually present. And that is usually an interesting condition for contrarian entries.
Okay, and so you would line that up with like one of the levels that you trade off?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Now, so it sounds like I'm going to go away from the mathematical route, but it sounds like there was some real in-depth market knowledge there that helped build up some of these models. I mean, can you tell us where you got this education from around, you know, the fact that I don't want to trade, Euro US when the currencies are, you know, got a polar opposites and it's likely to be a doji, that kind of thing. I mean, where did that come from?
Well, that comes from observation. I've been looking at charts the entire day for the past 10 years in light of the analysis of these instruments provided by the instruments. And so I can actually, when I analyze the market for our clients, for our traders, I sometimes look at the dashboard. I look at the data about the balance of power between currencies, and from that I can deduce what's going on in the price chart. And sometimes I tell them, well, guess what the euro dollar is doing when the balance of power is not skewed in anyone's favor. We're probably going to see the price around the daily opening, and it usually is. In the morning, at the end of the day, it's usually makes a Z pattern. I mean, it goes up, then it goes down, but basically it's going to close on the opening line or the previous close line. It's something that, you can count on that. It's almost a given.
Okay.
If the balance, yeah.
Hey folks, what a view behind me. I'm at Black Bull Markets headquarters here in Auckland, New Zealand. Speaking of views, you can get TradingView paid plans for free at Black Bull Markets, saving you up to $600 a year. That's right, get either the Essential Plus or Premium plans absolutely free, and all you need to do is trade from one lot a month at Black Bull Markets. And you can also get a 100% deposit bonus for your first deposit up to $1,000. All you need to do is click the Trading Nut link in the description below.
Yeah, so it was basically a lot of hours and years at the charts. I mean, it's, you know, I'm trying to sort of piece together how you went from that working for this company that was creating indicators to becoming the trader that you are today. I mean, can you talk us through that journey there? I mean, how did that evolve? Were you sort of profitable out of the gates with these tools and this method, or did you have to evolve somewhat?
I didn't start using the instruments right away. I mean, it took me some time to assemble my personal trading systems. I put together various indicators that my group had created, and I made them work for me over time. But of course, I started in the beginning with the classic technical analysis. I did Elliott waves, harmonic pattern for some time. I did cyclical analysis. I started studying the weekly cycles. I did various courses over the years while I was already working for my group. But in the end, I found my thing inside that suite of indicators. And I was able to make it work for me. And I became profitable, able to project what I was going to gain over a certain period of time, let's say 5 years ago. And I've been trading these systems ever since. And well, my learning is not over. It's not that I am I'm through with learning. I'm going into new stuff, and I'll keep doing that, because you can always better yourself, and you should aim to always better yourself. But right now, I have something actionable that I can actually do with. Well, I also did smart money concepts in 2017. Today, the kids are all for the smart money concepts. They were actually divulged by Michael J. Huddleston, Inner Circle Trader, and I spent hundreds of hours listening to the guy. 6-7 years ago. So I look at the candlesticks in a way that I also look at the candlesticks in a way that resembles the smart money approach, but that's not the basis of my trading. The more you know, the better. But my advice to anyone who's new to this game, who wants to get better, is to strive to find a system and apply that every day for a long period of time. You have to find something that works for you and do that indefinitely.
That's so I'm getting sort of more insight here into where you've sort of come from and how you trade now, like, especially with the ICT thing popping in there, which I didn't expect. So were you, I mean, you say here, you know, somebody needs to go away and study a whole lot of stuff and then work out what things are going to work for them. I think that can be quite hard for a lot of people to do, because they just get themselves fully, you know, they get too much information and they try and do everything, and then they overtrade, and you know, they see something here and it becomes analysis paralysis. I mean, how did you get around that to avoid that, or even sort of not let that creep in when you're studying ICT and you've got your own stuff?
Yeah, well, for me, it came with the territory, because while I was studying all this stuff, I was also quote unquote forced to learn about our indicators, to explain our clients how they worked. I had we started our academy service doing 3 webinars per day. So I would do every day an analysis webinar. And so, it became my everyday routine to look at the market through certain metrics. And day by day, I saw that they were working actually very good. I saw that the market always shows you the same pattern around those relevant areas that we monitor, around percentage levels, and everybody, regardless of the fact that they have certain instruments or not, are able to monitor what the market is doing in percentage terms. Well, you look at CNBC and they tell you, well, the Dow was up or down 300 points. Well, that's a metric that's interesting, but if you hear some what we call institutional traders speak about the market, they never mention the points that a certain instrument recorded. They always talk in percentage terms. It was a 10% move, 5% move, and I guess that's the reason why these percentage levels are actually so reactive.
Yeah, that's because those are moving the market are the ones.
Those that put the money in,
yeah,
they're looking at the market with that lens.
Yeah, I think it's what, like, that's what I kind of find is when you can find something where, you know, it's a set kind of thing that tends to move the market, you know that there's somebody behind there that's actually using the exact same thing. If they're using this, if they've come up with this number or this place to enter, they're looking at the same thing you're looking at, maybe through a slightly different lens, but it's kind of the same. It's funny that you stumbled on that. I mean, what can you sort of talk us through that net percentage change and how it sort of reared its head so that you became, I mean, obviously I hear what you're saying around the webinars you're doing on a daily basis. You could see that it was working, but was it that at that point you'd built it into this indicator that was printing out these levels that you were sort of like, this is what I'm imagining in my head, you're printing out these levels and you're like just going, damn, that level worked again. It worked again. It worked again. And you're like, was that it? Or had you just gone back in history and gone, okay, well, let's have a look at it. And I can see that it's working, you know, across the last 5 years, pretty much seamlessly. How did it work? How did it play out for you?
Well, I can take credit, obviously, for the ideas to graph percentage net changes. The idea was of my colleague, Fabio La Rosa. The group is called MQL Suite. The initial idea was to be able to monitor the market, to have an overview of what the market was doing. And the best way we figured out that was possible was to have on our MetaTrader, because that's the other thing. If you want to trade and be effective, you need all the information, the proper information, the relevant information on your platform. Because if you have to look at 10 websites in order to know what's going on, and you start reading up on a certain subject, and you see on investing.com what a couple of instruments are doing, you're not going to have the full picture. And if you want to be, if you want to find yourself in the right place at the right time, you got to be able to quickly realize what's going on in the market overall. You want to know if what are the balances of power between not only the currency basket, but also the other asset classes. So you want to be able to quickly assess whether or not you're looking at a risk on or risk off trading day. You want to see if the typical correlations are active, are in play, or for some reason they're not there. And the best way to do that is to look at the percentage variation on the different timeframes, from the daily at least to the yearly, for all the instruments that you're interested in. And basically, I would say the 28 main Forex pairs the main indices and commodities. And with a look at the at the net changes of all those instruments, you can deduce whether or not you're looking at a risk on or risk off conditions. You can look at the correlations, whether or not they are present. And from there, well, the process of selecting the instrument to trade and in which direction is much easier. And once you have an idea of what you should trade, what type of instrument you should trade, you can bring this this knowledge, this awareness on a graphic chart, on a graphic model that is also going to suggest you what the best places to enter and then to exit the market actually are.
Yeah, I've just had a look at the website. I can see here the graphics, and it does look kind of next level in terms of the amount of data that you've got available at your fingertips there. So it is a big piece of work, folks. So you talked about being a contrarian. I mean, how does that contrarian approach filter into what you do? I mean, can you give us an example of where others are doing something different than you?
As I mentioned, the contrarian approach is based on the average range of the instrument. So let's say I look at the euro dollar. The euro dollar right now is doing some 80 pips per day from high to low. That's the average move of the euro dollar. It's been greater in the past few years, but it got down to 80 pips, let's say. And so I measure, you know, the daily range. I actually have an instrument that tells me how much it is. But if the euro dollar move is greater than these 80 pips on a percentage level or a Fibonacci level, which I know by endless observation of the dynamic, is losing strength. If the move is losing strength, and also if we see the same behavior on the correlated instruments, so the other euro pairs, basically, observing also a couple of other metrics, let's say overbought, oversold condition on the RSI, and the distance from the daily moving average. If I'm looking at an intraday trade, well, these are all elements that increase the chances for my contrarian trade to work, and it usually does. What you don't want to do with a contrarian system is find yourself in a market that is, for a specific reason, is moving in a single direction, and there's the potential for it to continue doing so for a big amount of time. Let's say the one of the most recent examples is the yen. Well, last year there was basically an attack on the Bank of Japan. They had to defend the yields. They couldn't allow the yields, the 10-year yields, to go above a certain threshold. In order to do that, they had to buy all the bonds that the government was issuing. And in order to do that, they had to actually print money. That wasn't quantitative easing, that was money printing. And so you had a physiological devaluation of the yen, the speculation on top of that. So we saw US dollar yen, CAD yen, Swiss franc yen go up for 15 weeks in a row. Well, you had excesses all along the way, and those are the types of excesses you should stay away from, because, well, those markets become steamrollers. And if you don't approach the contrarian entry with a stop loss, well, the risk is you're gonna be in that position for a very long time. if your account can weather all of that time, because that's the other thing, because there's also a limited amount of resources that we can put into play. And so we should always be careful of those positions, those market conditions that can actually bring our accounts to zero.
It's funny because I'm just having a look at some of your stats here, and I'll actually read them out in a minute for the folks listening and watching. So how do you avoid that? Because I find that being the hardest thing, being a contrarian or kind of like, you know, you're trying to pick a reversal when, you know, most other people are going, right, this thing's going broken out, it's going to go. How do you avoid those big long runs, and how are you able to trust in the fundamentals if you do use or just heavily rely on them?
Well, in all honesty, sometimes I got caught in them. But I was able to manage, because there's sometimes I hedge myself. That's something that we can do after I determine a level, a price area above or below which, my contrarian trade is actually wrong. Hedging myself, I buy time, I freeze the loss and start managing the original position with a greater balance because of the gains realized by the edge. When you get caught into a bad position, you waste time and you lose money. Not because you're probably going to manage to bring back that position to break even one way or the other with the hedge or other techniques. But if that position weighs on your margin, you're not going to be able to do anything else. Mm. And all your plans for your monetary target for the week, for the month, are going to go away. So it's best to cash in a loss right away and move to the next trade than to, you know, get into a long trade, you know, long trade that it's gonna consume your energy, your resources, your mental attention. When you have a position for a couple of months, it becomes taxing psychologically.
Mm. Okay, and so when do you decide that, okay, now I'm gonna hedge? At what point do you go, like, I'm not going to take any more losses with a stop loss, I'm now going to hedge this position?
Well, it's usually the breakout and change of polarity of a particular swing point. If I'm my position is short, I'm looking, always as a technical analyst, you look at the left side of your chart and you see what the significant price structures from the past are. And, above a certain price structure, well, the market officially declares that it doesn't want to go down. An example is when my position could be negatively affected by the release of macro news. So if I have that position, I don't want to close it for some reason. I still want to manage it, but I have to go through the release of a particular data. Well, then I wait for the data, and I usually have my edging size prepared for that, for the worst case scenario that the news goes against me and amplifies the losses.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Now, what we'll do is we'll dive into, I'll just quickly go through some of the stats here I can see on DarwinX. So this is pretty unique, folks. So we've got not just, it's a year and a half, it says 1.5 years of track record. We'll put it up on the screen here. And you've got 2.988 assets under management, 265 portfolios following you, 1,000. So this is the kicker: 1,303 trades in that 1.5 years, which is a huge amount of trades. And the average duration is only 1 day, 5 hours, and the winning percentage, which I think is probably part of your hedging thing in there as well, 75 0.98. So let's call it 76%. So these are top stats with a total growth of 91% and annualized return of 53.8%. So I thought you've not had a losing month. I can see there that February, which is we're currently in February, you're slightly down. So at the moment, you haven't had a losing month, which is unbelievable. Do you think you're going to turn around in February?
Well, I should mention here that I'm not alone in the management of this strategy. I have an associate, Fabrizio Mastroforti, who's also a well-known trader in Italy. Is also a trainer and a commentator, and a great guy. I met him at every convention over the years, and we started to talk, to like each other, like our approach to the market. So at some point we decided to collaborate and keep an eye on each other, because that's an important thing that is actually working for us. So we come up with trade ideas, we do daily briefings, and we see what each one wants to do. And then we question the other's assessment of what should be done. Yeah. And, the mediation between the two actually works very well. And we've been performing. I have to say we're slightly down on February because we are managing. I have to take responsibility for this trade as a dollar bullish, dollar bearish trade, because I think the dollar will depreciate a bit this year, not because other currencies have better perspectives, but because the US government needs a lower dollar, basically. And as they devaluated the dollar, basically running down the Treasury General account last year, they're in the process of doing something like that. They have to, because it's not the corporate America or the citizens that are suffering from high rates. It's actually the government that can afford such high rates, because every time the dollar goes up, the yields go up, and foreign investors, which have a net international investment position on dollar assets, which is actually greater than it's ever been in history, they sell American bonds and the yields continue to go up. And the more they go up, the more the sovereign debt for the United States becomes unbearable. And so that was a fundamental idea behind the trade. I had some good levels. Now I'm managing this position. If I edge myself, so we edged ourselves, so we made profits with the edge. Now we're resolving the short position on dollar Swiss franc. And so if we manage to go to break even, I figure in a couple of days, we should be up on the month in February as well.
Well, look, folks, if you do want to check out those stats and just see how the February ended up, depending on when this drops, then what I'll do is put a link to the DarwinX page underneath the show notes here. And there is actually a massive discount on DarwinX the guys have been able to give me, so you can go and check that out as well. I've just done a quick calculation. So it looks like you take about 70 trades a month, which seems kind of on the high side. I mean, can you talk us through your sort of typical trading day or week? How does it all play out?
Well, I usually start during the weekend, reading as much as I can on what's going on, what analysts are thinking. Not only to be in line with that, but in order to see what the narrative is, as they say, because that's actually important. I look in advance at the economic calendar. I want to know what the relevant days are, where I should probably be away from certain markets, and what instruments to avoid. I mean, usually I tend to stay away from the news. And then I look during the weekend at the higher time frames. let's say weekly, monthly timeframes to see that if there are important areas that I should monitor. And then as soon as the market opens, because I'm there, it's 11 p.m. on Sunday night for me, the opening in New Zealand, in Wellington.
Yeah.
Well, most people are already asleep. I'm there to see the Wellington opening. And then, at midnight, you have the indices and the commodities that open, and I start looking at the new grids, because as I mentioned earlier on, my percentage and Fibonacci grids appear on my chart exactly as the new week, the new day, the new month begins. And so I start putting in alerts on the relevant areas so that I can be notified when price areas that I'm interested in are going to be touched by the price action. And once price action presents a records a certain pattern, which is usually the change of polarity of the resistance or support that I'm looking at, and that is coherent with the market profile that I'm observing. So what the asset classes are doing as a whole, what the currency baskets are doing as a whole, well, I start putting in what I think is the best trade for a directional move. So I do continuation entries based on the strength of certain assets. And then during the day, I continue monitoring because I want to see if the daily excess produces, or if we are in a later part, a second half of the month, let's say. I monitor at the monthly ranges to see if longer term excesses are presenting themselves. I basically, even when I do other things, I talk to clients, I do so all the things that I do in this sector, I'm always looking at the charts, so I'm always there. So it's except when I'm playing tennis, because I have to if I want to lose my mind at some point. And so I'm always there, and I have,
you're not trading overnight. You stop overnight, obviously, to sleep, and then you start again in the morning when London opens. Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
And what time in the morning would you start?
Yes, exactly. I start right around 9:30, let's say. The first hour of London negotiations is not interesting to me. I never employed market opening strategies, entries. I see that many traders are interested in that time frame in order to place their own daily trades, but I actually think that the first hour of negotiation of almost every session can be quite misleading, so you want to let that one pass and then start forming your idea on what the balances of power are going to be for the rest of the day and whether or not they can be offset by macroeconomic releases later in the day.
Okay. Now, this is a bit of an odd question because it's not one I really ask, but I just feel that I need to, this is going to help me understand what you're doing a little bit better. But I mean, what size would, say on a euro US dollar trade, what size would your typical stop loss be and your typical take profit in terms of pips?
Well, let's say the stop loss is usually 20 to 25 pips. And the take profit is around 40 to 50 pips.
Okay. And when you do you manage your trades in any way? Like, would you scale in or move your stop to break even or anything like that?
Yes, I usually move my stop to break even following the grids. So if we talk percentage levels, they are at the same distance from one another. So as soon as I get in, I have the stop loss below a certain level and the target on a percentage level that automatically tells me this is a 1-2, a 1-3. I don't usually employ a manual trailing stop strategy because I want to see, the most important thing is to eliminate the risk if you can. And then I wait for the target. Having usually a monetary idea of what I want to make out of that trade, I don't always wait for the market to hit the target, the take profit order. I mean, if we are 5 pips below, I usually cash in the profits because what I found out over the years is that if you want to be consistently profitable, you have to take profits frequently. I see many traders who would much prefer to say that the market did what they expected. In other words, it took their take profit orders, but sometimes, well, you miss it by 2 ticks and it goes by, and it reverses on you. And sometimes what was a gain turns into a loss. That's actually very frequent. And if you want to make money, let's say you want an income out of this job, well, you have to learn to take profits. You have to learn that it's not important what you think, what you predicted. The only important thing at the end of the day is that you have made money. And so take profits as frequently as you can is my policy.
It's quite an interesting one because it's like, I mean, you know, then you sort of go, well, it's hard for the newbie trader to go, well, when do I take profits, right? Because then you're fighting with the fear and greed. You might take them too early. How do you know that you're not taking it too early? I mean, are you sort of like going, well, you know, I'm very close. I'm just happen to be at the charts. I'm very close to the take profit line, defined very close. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to take the profit because it's money on the table. Or are you like, I've just entered the trade. It's not looking good. I don't feel good about it. I'm going to take profit because I just want to get out of it. What are you doing? I mean, how are you doing it along the way?
Well, on this thing, there's unfortunately no mathematical explanation that I can give you. You develop a certain instinct and or you monitor what the correlated instruments are doing. Let's say you were in a directional trade on the euro dollar. Well, usually the correction or the potential inversion is synchronized on all the euro pairs. The euro is going up, I'm long, it's all good. But if every currency pair of the basket starts losing momentum, that's usually the moment where you're close to your target price, well, that's usually the moment where you should, take profit right away, thank the market, and go play tennis. Yeah. Yeah.
You said it before we started the show that you go for dollar targets for the week. I mean, how did you come up with that? And how do you sort of, do you adjust them at all across the course of the year as your account grows or anything like that? How did you do the dollar target approach?
Well, I saw that this was many years ago now, but I saw that my activity was unpredictable. Let's say I want to do away with everybody. I want to be alone. I want to trade for myself and live off of that. Would I be able to do that? No. Why? Because I don't know how much I could be able to do consistently, regularly. And so I had to find a way to create that thing for me. You know, let's say I remain alone in the world with 5,000 bucks, 10,000 bucks, or 8,000 bucks, what am I going to do? So I need it for myself, more for my own psychological, security, to find a way to put myself in that condition. So I started with the average income of, let's say, something that works for a company. I said, what if I had to gain $2,000 a month? How would I do that? Well, I started from that target and I broke it down in a certain number of trades I needed to find per day. Basically, it was four trades per day of 25 pips with a mini lot, which would give me roughly $100 per day. Okay, which 5 days per week amounts to $2,000 a month. I started, well, I said, I have these instruments. I have this trading system. It's not hard for me to find four entry setups that are going to pay me 25 pips every day, almost every day on average, and started doing it, which meant that I took profits every time the market gave me those 25 pips. I didn't wait for the market to pay me 200 pips on that position for some reason. All I needed to reach my target was, on every trade, those 25 pips, taking profits frequently. And well, soon I realized that that was actually a conservative target on my part based on what I saw I could do with my trading systems. And so I pushed it a little bit higher, and but I haven't moved it so much because I also do other stuff. So the income from trading, the income from all the other activities is actually quite good. Now I'm more capitalized, so I'm able to do a little bit more. Because I accumulated, I was able to to create for myself a proper trading account, which allows me a little more, maneuvering space, and so this is how it began, and this is how it's going.
Okay, and what about like? So let's talk about, and we'll probably wrap the show up on this because I know it's getting on and the internet seems to be dying here on your end, although it's picked up again right now. What about move to DarwinX? So, you know, you've gone from probably trading a small account or a smaller account to, you know, looking after $3 million of other people's money. I mean, how did you make that transition?
It was meeting Fabrizio Mastroforti that actually gave me the input. I have to say that we knew some people inside DarwinX from before. We started actually working with them, and we met them at various conventions. And I think last year in Naples, Fabrizio was offered, because he's a notoriously prudent, cautious, conservative trader, was proposed to present a strategy that could be employed. And we were already collaborating, or, you know, talking about a possible collaboration. And he was the one to propose we give a shot to the DarwinX model. And so if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have done it. But the idea of doing this activity with him, so with a friend, with something that I appreciate, that I like. Well, it was what convinced me to give it a shot. And the rest is history.
Yeah. So you basically had somebody who was very experienced, who was able to sort of hold your hand along the way, which makes sense. Right. Look, I know we could probably dive into this for another hour, and we're not going to, though. We're going to wrap this show up here, and then, you know, people can put comments, questions, and if we want to get you back, we'll get you back and see if we can get some more out of you, because I'm sure there is absolute ton that we haven't touched on here. But to wrap this show up, I mean, what's the best way for traders to get hold of you?
Well, they can find me on LinkedIn or on Facebook. I'm not very social. I don't have personally a big presence on social media, so I'm not gonna be able to give you an Instagram account or a Twitter account. or well, they can I can give you a mail address if you want that we get, but I don't think it's that's the problem. You can find me on LinkedIn as Fabrizio Alessandro. There are not many Fabrizio Alessandro that you're gonna find. It's a singular name. I have Brilliant. Two names because Alessandro is also, it's usually a personal name, but I have it as a surname.
Yeah.
So it confuses Italians. So go figure.
Well, on this, I'm kind of the same as well. Now, look, a big thank you to Fabrizio for sharing with us today everything we've discussed here. We'll put them in the show note links below the video in the podcast description. So go and check it out there. Or if you're on TradingNut, search for Fabrizio in the search box on TradingNut.com. Until next time, wish all my listeners trading happiness and success. All right, folks, there you go. Interview done and dusted. Now, if you're looking to find out more about Fabrizio, go and check out the links under the video. There is a link not just to his profile page, but also to DarwinX and that massive discount for TradingNut listeners only. So if you are wanting to get on board with DarwinX and Fabrizio, then go and check that out after the show. Now, last but not least, we've got a great video dropping this week. So if you're looking to make the shift from MetaTrader to CTrader, I've done a video breakdown because I've been using CTrader for about 3 years. My mentor taught me how to use it as well, so I'm kind of like an expert, and I know these guys here, Blackbull, have actually bought CTrader onto their platform as well. So if it is a great platform, you're going to find out all the tweaks and differences between the two platforms in this video. It drops on the channel very soon, so make sure you check it out. All right, folks, until next time, I'll see you in the next show.